Turn with me to the first chapter of John. We are dealing with a theme. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." A couple of weeks ago, we saw that Jesus is the way to God, the way to heaven, and the way to peace. Last week, we saw that Jesus is the truth to which the whole Bible speaks, and also the truth that exposes falsehood. This week, we're going to look at Jesus as he says, "I am the life." And a good place to start is in John 1. But before we look at John 1, I want to share with you, we hear a lot about those who are rich and famous and infamous, powerful personality these days. But there's an essay written in 1927 by Dr. James Allen Francis. And the essay is entitled, "One Solitary Life." Let me read that to you. And I'm quoting, "He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things usually associated with greatness. He was only 33 years old when the tide of public opinion turned against him. He was delivered to his enemies and went through a mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. When he died, he was buried in a borrowed grave. More than 20 centuries have come and gone." We'd say now, update that, more than 21 centuries have come and gone. "And today he is the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the kings that ever reigned have not affected the life of mankind as much as that one solitary life." That one-of-a-kind person is identified here in John chapter 1. Let's look at it. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Keep your Bibles open before you. Let us look to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the revelation of your Son, which actually begins way back in Genesis 1:1, but continues on and is sharpened in the New Testament, then is sharpened through these I Am sayings of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you'll help us through the enablement of the Holy Spirit to better understand what is before us, and to live in light of your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever thought about what a rich word the word life is? Think about it. You know, four letters, small word, but we use it in so many ways. There's a biological use of the word life. Wikipedia says any organism in a state capable of metabolism, growth, reproduction, and reaction to stimulation. That's biological. There's a biographical use, the period between birth and death. We like to call it on the tombstone the dash. Born here, died here, and there's a dash. We call that life. The life of Abraham Lincoln, the life of Stonewall Jackson, the life of Martin Luther King. You know, when being positive, we like to say, life is just a bowl of cherries. But then sometimes we go negative, like Irma Bombeck, and say, if life is a bowl of cherries, then why am I in the pits? We describe a gifted leader as breathing new life into an organization. Warranties have a life, so do batteries. There's life in the forest, the country, the city. There's life in the air, the ground, under the sea. The Declaration of Independence says all people are given with the inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. with the exception, of course, of the unborn who are aborted. To 2007, there was even a magazine titled Life Magazine. So in light of all this discussion about life, I have a question for you, and it's this. How's life for you today? Really, what is happening in your life this morning? You see, this statement of Jesus, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, carries great significance for your life today. There are three ways that Jesus is the life. Three ways that make a difference in the way that we live our lives on a day-to-day basis. Let's look at these three ways that Jesus is the life and how it changes our life. Notice in the first place that Jesus is the originator of physical life. We see this in John 1, verses 1 through 4. And the question is, where did life come from? What's the ultimate origin of everything we see around us today? And about 97.5% of secular scientists will immediately, sometimes even emotionally, dismiss the very idea that there is some kind of personal Lord who could have created life. But if you ask Dr. Andrew Knoll, professor of biology at Harvard, how did life begin? This is what he'll say. Short answer, we don't know. We just don't know. But you know, ultimately, as you drive secular scientists back as far as they can go, the great high priest and the white lab coats have to engage in both scientific and mental gymnastics to make the absurd, actually unscientific, admission that somehow nothing created everything. Really, you push it back. That's what they've got to say. Nothing created everything. John 1 answers that question. Notice also in verse 10 of John 1, he was in the world and the world was made through him. He's the agent of creation, yet the world did not know him. Friends, we are not the end product of some primordial protoplasm found in a pond created by nothing. The Lord of eternity created the heavens and the earth. From every giant galaxy to every drop of moisture in the tiniest leaf, the Lord spoke and everything visible, everything invisible came into existence. Think about how easy that was. You know how hard, if you've ever tried to build anything, you know how much effort it takes. You know how much effort it took for the Lord to create everything you see? As much effort as it takes you to talk. How easy is it? How is it just to talk? All you have to do is open your mouth. Genesis 1 tells us, in addition to creating the heavens and the earth, something special about us. We are the image of God, not the end products of some evolutionary process. Now, if you choose to, you can follow current theories about creation as they come and go and adapt and change and readapt and reconfigure and recalibrate everything they said a year ago. But listen, if you choose to hitch a ride with the evolutionists, you're choosing to associate yourself with a theory written in pencil with a big eraser. Or you can trust what is inscribed in permanent ink in God's Word. Jesus is the genesis of all natural life. And he continues to provide a pulse for all people. Look at verse 1. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. That word for men is anthropos, from which we get anthropology. Life does not just happen. Our mother is not Lady Luck. Life is a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so what does that mean for us? How does believing that Jesus is the originator of life make a difference in your life? Well, here's how. You need to leave here assured this morning that your life is not the roll of some cosmic dice. Your life is a generous gift from the giver of life. What do you do with a gift? Well, if you have good, as we call it down here in the South, good walking around sense, what you do is that you thank the giver. And knowing life is a gift, we're humbled. By its very definition, a gift is something undeserved, something unearned. That is the gift of life. You see, the gift of life is we didn't work for it. It is a gift. But even though it's a gift, it's not something just to be savored and saved away. The life that you've been given is to be offered up in service to the Lord. Did you know one of the words for service in the Bible is the word from which we get liturgy? Which means when you take your life and use it in service to the Lord, you are in an act of worship. You can worship God in your work, in your marriage, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your school, wherever God has placed you, because He has given you life to use in service to others. And if you believe Jesus Christ created everything, you realize that at the end of the day, every issue of life, every issue from ethics to economics to ecology, everything is only understood correctly in relationship to Christ the Creator. Look around you this morning. There's a beautiful drive coming over here today. And I was thinking, you know, nothing I pass by, nothing I see right now exists apart from Christ. Nothing has meaning apart from Christ. We need to see that physical life is first of all seen in relationship with Christ. He is the originator of every heartbeat of every person in the world. Notice in the second place, the second way that Jesus is the life is found in John chapter 5. So turn with me in your Bibles over to John chapter 5. Physical life is a gift, gifted to us from the Lord. But there is much more to life than simply breathing and metabolizing. Notice in the second place, Jesus is the giver not only of physical life, but secondly, Jesus is the giver of spiritual life. Of spiritual life. You know, what a tragedy it is nowadays to... I read interviews with celebrities. I watch interviews on YouTube of celebrities. And there's this common theme you hear. Movie stars, comedians, entertainers, professional athletes. It's amazing when the interviewer begins to drill down beneath the surface, begins to drill beneath the fame and fortune. These famous people, it's almost a constant theme. They'll talk about something basically like this. There's this giant hole inside of me. There is this darkness inside of me. I have all these Super Bowl rings. I wish I knew if there was some meaning to my life. Imagine that with a bunch of Super Bowl rings. You see, why is that black hole there? It's because we are people who are created with a body and a soul. You could say we are embodied souls. And our soul is not designed to be filled by anything, but to be filled by a person. That soul, by the way, continues to exist after death. There's a man, he's 87 years old. Presbyterian minister, evangelist, he's held services in 40 different countries. His name is Leighton Ford. And when Leighton Ford gets on an airplane and sits by someone he doesn't know, he gets a bad case of the can't help it. He's got to start talking to him about the Lord. He sat beside an executive manager of a major company, and he said, he started with identifying this. So he says, can I ask you some questions? Sure, he said. What are your goals? He said, well, to be honest, sir, one day I want to be president of this company. He said, that's great. Okay, and then what do you plan to do after you become president? He says, well, I'd like to get married. Okay, well then what? Well, do the family things, have kids, go to their stuff. All right, sounds good. Well, what about after that? He said, I think I'll retire, travel the world, and when I have time, I'll spoil the grandchildren. Okay, and then what after that? Executive said, well, one day I guess I'll die. Leighton Ford said, okay, and then what? The man paused, he looked down, he looked up, he swallowed hard, and he said, you know what, sir, I haven't even given that a thought. See, that young executive that day came face to face with something we all know. And that is, we have a soul that will keep on existing after we die. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He has placed eternity in our hearts. We know there's life after death. That's good news. But the bad news is this. Apart from a major intervention from God, the life after this life will not be a good life. See, way back in Genesis 2:17, God posts this no trespassing sign on one tree in the Garden of Eden. And God said, do not eat from that one tree, because when you do, it's interesting, in the original Hebrew it says, when you eat from that one tree, dying spiritually, that moment, you will eventually die physically. The very second Adam disobeyed God, he and the rest of the gene pool of humanity experienced the spiritual death of the soul. And since Genesis 3, every person, spiritually speaking, is still born in trespasses and sins. That's the clear message of Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. Every person is born with this immense empty hole inside of them that cannot be filled with money or mutual funds, material things, activities, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, Academy Awards, national championships, Super Bowl rings, Miss America titles, anything else. In the core of who we are, apart from Christ, we are as empty as a Catholic church in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. What we need is spiritual life. What we need is the kind of life God's grace in Jesus gives us. Look at chapter 5, verse 24. Listen to what Jesus says, and he wants to emphasize this. Truly, truly, I say to you, 5:24, whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life. And notice, he does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life. See, Jesus is the only one who resurrects us from spiritual death and breathes spiritual life into our souls. See, conversion at its core, it's not turning over a new leaf. It's not getting religion. You can turn over a new leaf as often as you change clothes if you want to. You can get religion and still be as spiritually dead as a car that hasn't been cranked in 4 months. See, conversion is this. It's God's grace resurrecting us from the dead. Conversion is God transferring us from the land of the dying to the land of the living. Conversion is a grace-fueled gift from Jesus. Listen, this morning, if you've never trusted completely in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you need to know, apart from Jesus, you are spiritually dead, and one day you will be eternally dead. And if you die apart from Jesus, the candle of hope will be blown out forever. But the good news is this. If you trust in Christ and Christ alone, Jesus, who is full of grace and truth, says he will give you the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. You can have this gift the moment you believe. Now, I'm going to assume that most of you have this gift. But let me ask you this, seriously. When was the last time you were stunned by the magnitude of the grace God has given you through the work of Jesus Christ? This just hit me the other day. When I thought about myself, when I thought about the situation in the world, other situations, I was so stunned. I was moved to tears. I was stunned that God would show it. Why should he show his grace? See, the problem is this. We think being a Christian and all the benefits, we tend to think it's an entitlement God owes us somehow. Friends, this is not eternal Medicare and everlasting Social Security checks. Eternal life is a gift of God's grace. Jesus is the giver not only of physical life, but of spiritual life. Notice with me in the third place this. Jesus is the giver of physical life, the giver of eternal life. The third way Jesus is the life is this. And turn to John chapter 10. This is where our Bible drill ends this morning. John chapter 10. Notice Jesus is the source of a third kind of life. You may have physical life. Obviously you do. You're here. You may have eternal life. That's between you and the Lord, you know. But the question is, do you have this third kind of life? Notice in the third place, Jesus is the source of abundant life. Abundant life. Had the opportunity on two occasions to hear Dr. Larry Crabb. For over 45 years, he's headed up hundreds of counseling seminars across the country. And he said that after talking with people and asked them to describe what the Christian life is all about, he said, I can give you a consensus. You ready for this? He said, this is what most people think in churches I've been to. You strip away all the pious language, majority opinion runs something like this. You ready? Get saved, be good, hang on, die, and go to heaven. That's it. Get saved, be good, hang on, die, go to heaven. I remember him looking at us and say, hey, guess what? If that's what it's all about, Christianity really does have a public relations problem. Friends, if that's all you think the Christian life is, just accepting Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus Christ, and just hanging on, then you're missing out on something major, something fantastic. You know, when Jesus encountered a crippled man lying by the pool at Bethesda, Jesus asked him an interesting question. Listen to what he said. He saw this crippled man. Crippled man called out Jesus' name. Here's the first question out of Jesus' mouth. What do you want? Wow, think about that. He didn't ask the crippled man, have you been a good guy? Are you religious? Have you kept the Ten Commandments? Are you managing your sin problem? No, Jesus addressed this man on the level of his desire. In this case, it was the desire to walk. In other encounters, to the thirsty, Jesus speaks of living water. To the weary, Jesus speaks of rest. To the lost, Jesus speaks of finding the way. In every case, Jesus uses the desire of that person ultimately to point them to a deeper desire, which is the desire for Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Do you see that? The core of the Christian life is not a long laundry list of rules. It's not religious duties. It's not sin management. It's not knowing files filled with facts about the faith. The core of the Christian faith is a deep desire, a burning passion to pursue a life of abundance. Sometime go to YouTube and listen to the song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. There's more to this life. It's the title of it, More to This Life. There's more to this life than just living and dying, more than just trying to make it through the day. There is more. But how do you pursue this abundant life? Well, you begin by pursuing the one who is life itself. You see, it's interesting. This third kind of life is different from the first two. When it comes to physical life, we're passive. We don't create ourselves. We're not self-generated. We don't keep ourselves alive. Jesus does. And we don't give ourselves spiritual life either. Only Jesus can resurrect us from the grave of spiritual deadness. But notice, this third kind of life is something that is offered to you, but it's not forced upon you. It's offered, not forced. You know, if you want to continue to live below the level of your spiritual income, go right ahead. But if you want to live an abundant life, here's what you need to do. You need to get as close to Jesus as you possibly can. The closer you get to Jesus, the more alive you'll feel. We're going to look at this next week. We're going to talk about the vine and the branch. But, you know, how close can you get? Jesus, the vine, the main stem, we are the branches. That's pretty close, folks. To live a full life, we must stay close to Christ. But to stay close to Christ, we need to ask a very practical question. And here it is. What's keeping me from having a closer relationship with Jesus? You ever considered that question? What is it today, right here, right now, that's keeping you from being closer to Jesus than you are? You know, through the years, I've done marriage counseling. I've talked to a number of marriage counselors. They'll tell you the four biggies, four big problems in marriage boil down to four things: money, sex, in-laws, and communication. Those are the four biggies. Money, sex, in-laws, communication. As you know, people grow close. They bond in marriage by talking and listening to each other. In the marriage counseling I've done over the years, let me assure you of this. Problems with communication between the husband and the wife, problems with communication are at the core of 105% of the cases I've handled. What we have here is a problem to communicate. You know, the Bible gives you an analogy. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, you are the bride of Christ. But are you communicating with your groom? If your prayer life is puny, you're going to feel distant from the Lord. One of the ways you draw close to God is through talking to Him in prayer. If you're not listening to Jesus as He speaks through His words to you, if you're not spending time in your Bible, He's not talking to you. Friends, don't sever the artery of communication with Christ. If you do, your spiritual life will bleed away. It's possible to be a Christian and still not be close to Christ. You have to reconnect the artery of communication through prayer, through Bible reading, through staying close to Christ. And there's other obstacles. You know, we live cluttered lives full of activities that can keep you away, hanging with people that have no desire to pursue a relationship with Jesus. Will keep you distant from the Lord. Absolutely. Any good thing, there are a lot of good things in your life that can keep you from experiencing the best thing. And what's the best thing? It is an ongoing, vital, personal relationship with Jesus. I don't know what's standing in your way, but whatever it is that's keeping you from getting closer to Jesus isn't worth it. So I ask you, what do you want? What is your passion? What is your deepest desire, really? I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. If you've never read his sermon, you can get it online. It's called The Weight of Glory. Just a sermon. You can read it probably in 10, 15 minutes. And this is what he says about our desires. I quote, "You only have to read the gospel to discover our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and money and ambition when infinite joy is being offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to continue making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday on the coast, we are far too easily pleased." I asked you this morning, are you pleased with less than Jesus wants to give you? You see, I hope that Jesus' question, "What do you want? What do you want?" will stir up a holy discontent. You need to stop swimming in the shallows of life and dive deeply into the pool of abundant life in Jesus. Jesus who gives you physical life, this Jesus who gives you spiritual life, is the same Jesus who calls you to pursue abundant life, but you've got to do it. It's like a couple that were, an older couple that were driving back in the day. Some of you who are older may remember the days when the front seat of a car was one seat and not two. And they're driving, and wife says, you know, we're not as close as we can be, as we used to. We used to talk all the time. We used to do things together. And I used to sit right by you in the car. Husband looked at her and says, well, I ain't moved. It's what God is saying to you this morning. If you're not as close to Jesus as you need to be, and none of us are, He hasn't moved. We're the ones that have to move into this relationship. Years ago, I heard a motivational speaker say something. The quote was this: life is relationships. Everything else is just details. You know, there is some fortune cookie wisdom in those words. However, I want you to see this morning, in light of what we've just discovered together about Jesus as the life, it would be better to say this: life is being rightly related to the one who is life itself. Life is being rightly related to Jesus. And once you get that relationship right, and you can, by God's grace, then really, everything else is just details. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life. Help us to understand that gift comes from Jesus. If we have life, it's because Jesus gives it to us. Lord, we thank you for the spiritual life that Jesus has promised, that all who believe in him are immediately resurrected from spiritual death. And when we die, that will simply be a transition into a better place. Lord, help us as Christians who have been given the gift of physical life and spiritual life to pursue the abundant life promised to everyone in this room who will do those things that bring them closer to Jesus. Lord, may we be able to say that a relationship with Jesus Christ is life, and that everything else is just details. Help us, Lord, to embrace Jesus the life. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.